all right? Do you believe he's all right? Will you trust in his word? Will you believe that his word won't ever fail you? His word won't ever leave you alone. If it hadn't been for his word, I wouldn't be here today, because it's his word that carries my life. See, when God spoke a word years ago, his word still lives on. So whatever you're doing in life, guess what? God spoke a word for everything you got to deal with. For every day of your life, there's a word. There's a word. But be like the Samaritan. Say, I believe the testimonies, but I believe more so for the word of God. I believe for the word. Do you believe for the word? I believe because of the word of God. Now, when you believe because of the word, it doesn't matter what somebody else come tell you, because you got a word. I've had a conversation with the Lord, and he's cleared up my understanding. I need my understanding cleared up.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
For the past 2 weeks, we've discussed the road to recovery and real joy. And one thing that has been consistent in both of the studies that we've shared is how to be connected in relationship with God. And it should lead you to the question, what is your relationship with God? What is your relationship with God? Now, what's important about asking this question is the fact that when we launch into the scripture, what you really want to find out is your relationship that of a servant, or is your relationship that of a friend? You're going to note that in both relationships, there is a connection, and one is on a lower level and the other is on an extended or an upper level. And the closer you become to God, you are viewed more as a friend rather than a servant. And so when we look at St. John chapter 15 as our launching scripture, I want you to turn your Bibles there, if you will, and look at verse 13 as Jesus starts off in this word saying, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for who? For his friends. Verse 14 says, ye are my friends. Listen at this now. If ye do whatsoever I command you.
All right.
Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So when we begin to look at this word today, there are some other questions that you want to ask yourself to come to the conclusion in your personal relationship with the Lord, to discover whether or not you're a servant or whether or not you're a friend, is ask, what is your personal view of God? Your personal view, not what someone else has said of God, not what others have written of God, but what is your personal view of God? Next, do you share your intimate thoughts with him? I mean, the real intimate thoughts, the things that you might share with a best friend, someone who's real close to you, a confidant, etc. Do you include him in the things that you do? Do you really say, Lord, I'm going to do such and such and such. I want you to be with me. Now, he's everywhere, but how many of us know he's not in everything? So just because his presence is everywhere doesn't mean that his involvement is in everything. Do you seek his guidance before you make a decision or take action? These are some questions you ought to ask yourself, which will begin to reveal the relationship you have as a servant or as a friend. Do you sit and talk to him, just to him? We'll sit and talk to friends. We'll sit and call up folk across the country. We'll sit and talk to folk we don't even know. But do we just sit and talk to him? That's prayer. That's communication. Do we just talk to him? Reveal our heart, our thoughts to him. Do you trust him? Because if you really trust him, you don't hide anything from him. And you're not afraid to stand out on, step up to, or surrender to what he said. All right. Another thing is, do you acknowledge his love for you in your life? Do you acknowledge his love for you in your life? See, in other words, when you begin to talk about, you know, a special significant person love you and so forth, your children love you, your spouse love you, so forth, do you really acknowledge the fact in your life, among your friends, among the heathens, among folk in the workplace, the love of the Lord for your life? Because what that says is, as a friend of God, you're clear that you have no reason nor no issues with making clear to whosoever will that God loves you just as much as you love God, which puts you in another place where you're acknowledging publicly the love that this friend has for you. And we'll share some words with you on this that's important for you to recognize and realize as well. Excuse me. Also, I want to know, when people see you and the fruit produced in your life, do they see God? I mean, when you are successful at this, that, and the other, or this is going on, and they see you're blessed, do they really see God behind that, or do you shade him and hide him and try to take the glory and the credit for yourself? Do you know God personally? Do you know him personally? All right. Is your relationship with God based on what someone else has told you or what you've experienced with God? See, this is where it really begins to get thick, when you know that my knowledge of God comes out of my relationship with God, my own experiences with God. And then, can God really call you a friend? That's one thing for us to call God a friend, but can God call you a friend? Because can I tell you, if there's a true friendship, then it's mutual.
That's right.
See, Jesus was Judas's friend, but Judas was not Jesus's friend. So when Jesus says, wherefore art thou come, friend? See, Jesus was still maintaining, I know what you've done. I know you've sold me out. I know y'all have come to take me, but I still view you as a friend.
Yeah.
And it was quite clear that Judas was not Jesus's friend. And so when it's all said and done, the truth of the matter is God needs to be able to call you a friend just like you're able and capable of calling God a friend. So let's go back to the scripture and look right quick, and then I'm going to share a few other scriptures with you. Because God craves and desires and longs for us in fellowship with him. And the world has perverted the true meaning of what a friendship is all about. And most folk are friends in this world many times because of only what they can get out of a relationship. But a true mutual beneficial friendship is one where both parties are mutually benefited and both parties enjoy the company and fellowship of each other's company, and both parties are sincere, and both parties defend each other, and both parties. It's a mutual reality and respect on both ends, not just on one side and not just in one frame of thought. So let's go back to the word. Jesus makes clear, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, that's where you really become, clear about who is your real friend. Look, Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, he obviously counted God and the Lord Jesus Christ as a friend, so much so that he would live a life that would be indicative of people seeing Christ in him. For me to live is Christ. In other words, my life is lived with the essence of Christ being the one who's seen through my life. In other words, people will see the Christ who lives on the inside of me. Now, because I love him, here is the end result, that I'll even die for him. To die is gain. Well, what does it mean? It means living for him as a friend doesn't stop if it came down to a choice of whether or not I had to die for him. Then I would choose the road of dying, because to me, it is a profit to die for him. It is a gain because, one, I go to be with him immediately. Two, I will be rewarded for everything I've sacrificed for him. And so when you begin to talk about the gain in this friendship, he then says, in essence, he says, because if I'm here, he's with me. If I die and go there, I'm going to be with him. So the truth of the matter is, it's a gain either way. If I continue on, and to die simply means I forfeit this world and find the world that he's in and live with him eternally. So look again now. Jesus says again, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now he goes on in verse 14 to say, ye are my friends. He's making it clear now. Listen, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, this kind of seems a little strange, unusual, but you've got to see it in the context of him being Lord, okay? He's not just trying to have us to be servants, but he's elevating us to friends. Now, as Lord, we're obligated to serve him. That's a no-brainer. We got to do that because he's our Lord. But what he's saying is, you ought to have enough love for me that you not only want to serve me, but you desire to obey me. Why? Because number one, you know I have your best interest at heart. Two, you know I've got your back. Three, I'm in relationship with the Father making intercession for you. And so my desire is to impart God's best for you. And then what he says is, and makes clear by way of this relationship, you can ask the Father whatever you want, and he'll give it to you because of me. Yes. Now listen to this. What he's literally saying is, I will open up so many doors for you as a friend that I can't open up for you as a servant. But you've got to obey my commandments. Now listen to this. Now this is where he's talking about his lordship now. Because if you obey his commandments and follow what he said, then there is no reason why the Father would not honor your request. Look again at what the word goes on to say. It says, henceforth, therefore, so on, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his who?
Lord.
His Lord doeth. Now listen, this is the lowercase L, so this is even in the natural sense. It's saying, listen, the boss don't have to tell you all of his secrets. He tell you do this. That's your job. That's your assignment. You do what I tell you to do. Now, when you are, listen, working for the boss and you're the boss's friend, listen now. He can tell you some things he don't tell the other servants. He brings you closer in his circle of confidence and reveals some things to you on that level, even though you're working for him. As a friend, he shares some things about what is and about what is to come that brings you into a whole new state of confidence and security, even as it relates to the job and what it is that you're doing on that job and the benefits for that job. Look again at what he goes on to say. He says, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Man, I'm telling you some of the secrets of how this company is about to blow up. I'm telling you about some of the things my Father is planning, and I'm trying to get you positioned right. Do what you're supposed to do. Let him find favor in you so you can be promoted and get the benefit. Listen, if you know what's coming down the pike, you can position yourself for the best blessings that will be handed out. And so some of the things that we miss is that Jesus, through this word, reveals things to those of us he calls friends that he does not reveal to others who are just in relationship. You see, that's why the devil don't want you to know the word. Even though you're in relationship with God, one of the reasons the devil don't want you to know anything about your future is that you'll get your head right when you get your facts right. And when through the word you get your facts right, you can then get your faith right. And if you get your faith right, you can start speaking those things that be not as though they were, because you've gotten a preview of what God is going to do. And so by faith, you begin to speak the word, the will, and the way of God. And listen, God always gets excited about his word, not about your word. Not about your request, not about what you think, not about how you feel, but God gets excited about his word. And so God, you said in your word, and I'll share some of these things in just a moment from his word that God has said and how God feels. And when you are a friend of God, when you are an intimate with the Lord Jesus, well, look, Jesus had 12 disciples. Only three of those 12 were what we call intimates, not favorites. Jesus didn't have favorites, but he had intimates. The difference between intimates and favorites is simple. Intimates are at a heart level where they share a common intimacy. Favor is something that is bestowed upon you. See, somebody can favor you and you not favor them. All right? Somebody can just like you because they like you, and you might not like them. But when they were intimate in terms of their feelings and their thoughts and their love and their desire for Jesus, it was only who? Can you name the three intimates? Peter, James, and John were the only three intimates of Jesus. If you read the Word of God, you'll see Jesus took them where he didn't bring the others. Jesus revealed some things to them that he didn't reveal to the others. So when you're a friend or an intimate to the Lord, you will recognize that he'll say some things to you that he won't say to some other Christians. All right, listen at this well. And so when you start getting rhema words and you start getting inside words or insider words, that means he gives to you some revelations about things that others don't know nothing about yet. And that's important to recognize for the glory that God gives to those who trust him and walk according to that favor. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now listen to this. An insider tip is this, that there are just some things God's gonna only do for the fruitful. See, when you learn how to become fruitful, and the only way that you can become fruitful, have full fruit, is if you stay connected to the vine. And when you stay connected to the vine, he gives you a sweeter fruit, a more plumper fruit, a juicier fruit. It's a premium, supreme fruit. And listen at this. It's a fruit that remains. In other words, it keeps on being productive. It keeps on bearing that kind of fruit. And he says, when you're fruitful like this, you can ask the Father for what you want. And he's going to give it to you. Why is he going to give it to you? Because he knows all you're going to do is be more fruitful. Because you're going to ask him for stuff that's going to make you better than you already are. Everything that he gives to you, it brings you to another level of fruitfulness. And so listen, God is always, hear this well, about increase. God is always about productivity. God is always about multiplication. God is always about expanding. God is always about going forth. And he's always about doing that that increases the believer's productivity and profitability. Yeah. Yeah. See, when Jesus gave the story about the man who had the one talent, the two talent, and the five talents, what was the whole issue about that story that Jesus was trying to get folk to know? That you simply take what you have and you multiply. The one who had one was the only one who didn't multiply it. The man who was given two multiplied it. The one who had five multiplied it. And then, listen again, when he got ready to take the one from the one who had one, who did he give it to? The one who had two or the one who had five? He gave it to the one who had five, who had duplicated and made 10. Because here's what he knew. Number one, if he took that he had given in the first place, which suggested that he had observed him and knew that he could handle more, listen, God gives you more to do more with. So he never gives you what you cannot handle. So he had already observed that the man who had had one could handle the one, but he chose not to. The man he gave two could handle the two, and he did just what he did. The one who had five clearly had the capability to handle five, and he proved that to him. So now, if he adds that one to the five that he's multiplied, he can do much more with that one than the man who had multiplied the two and made four. Are y'all hearing me here? In other words, when the Lord sees you operate in your gift, operate in your ability, when there is an increase, where do you think he's going to start first? At the upper echelon or the lower echelon? He's going to start at the upper. Why? Because he knows that you can be more productive. You can make exponential growth with learning how to process a certain figure. And even with one added more, you can do more with that greater increase because you've learned how to multiply and be fruitful. And listen, to whom much is given? To whom much is given? Much is required. So when he gave the man with five, he required much more of him than he gave the man with two and the man with one. And so as a result, now that there was another open talent, he said the one with the five who had created another five would be more worthy of handling this extra one. And so it's a helpful, holy hint to us. It's the word. God says the rich keeps getting richer. The poor keeps getting what? Because they don't utilize operational processes from the Word of God. In other words, you'll become more fruitful, you'll become more productive if you use the principles of God. When you try to think it your own self, do it your own self, don't use the Word of God, you're going to lose the little bit you do have. And even that, the Bible says, will be taken away from you. I'm trying to tell you, Jesus is helping us to understand that was not a greater soldier against the war of poverty than Jesus. Jesus wanted his people to be blessed and to be rich. The word is clear that he sacrificed, gave up his richness, changed positions with us so that he took on our poorness and gave us his richness. Why? Because he knew how to change our poor status into a rich status. And he says, I want you to see how it feels to be rich while I work out your poor situation. That was an old song some years ago. A lot of the old school folk know it. I've shared it with last week. And it says, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You got to have something if you want to be with me. Who made that, Rem Smith? Billy Preston. How many of y'all heard that song? Don't sit here acting holier than thou. I concur. 1970s? All right now. But look at it. I analyzed that song, and I concur with him. Listen to what he said again. Let's take a moment or two. Nothing from nothing, divided by nothing, subtracted from nothing, multiplied, the square root of nothing, is nothing. He said you got to have, he said you got to have money. Hear me now. He said you got to have something if you want to be with me. You got to have potential. You got to have purpose. A baby, you at least got to have a plan. You ain't got nothing and nothing from nothing. Well, the Lord is saying the very same thing. Listen, what you don't realize is a lot of the formulas of success from the world comes from the word. They may say it a different way, but if it's successful, you've got its root in the word of God. And see, when we miss the realities of what God is trying to tell the believers, let me go over a few scriptures and share some of these things with you, because I want you to see this for yourself. All right, let's look at some word. Proverbs 17:17 says, and you just jot some of these down and go to them later. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, if a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, there are two different relationships here. Now, how many times, again, have you seen a friend step in and do things that even family folk hadn't done? Sometimes you can get more help and more support from a friend than you can from a family member. I want you to see something else. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, if I want to be friendly, I've got to first demonstrate the fruits of friendship, which means I've got to extend myself first. I've got to extend the hand first. I've got to extend the hello first. I've got to be interested and in becoming a friend in order to have a friend first, which means I've got to expose myself first. And so many of us can't have real friends because we don't want to do what it takes to be a friend first. But then when we learn how to be a friend first, then here's what the word says. There is a friend, speaking about who? Jesus, that sticketh closer than a brother. His love does what a brother love will not do. His love goes further than a brother's love. Listen, family is supposed to stick together. That's what they are blood for, born for, bred for. That's their responsibility. But a friend doesn't have to do that. A friend does that because they love you. Because they care about you. And listen, they can disconnect at any moment if they weren't real friends. But a family member, listen at this, can't ever really disconnect from you. They may not help you, they may not do nothing, but you're still my brother, my sister, you're my cousin, you're my this. And so, but Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than blood. That's the interpretation. He is a friend that sticketh closer than blood. I want you to see something else, because when you begin to look in this word and see how God loves us and how he cherishes us, and our time is almost spent, but I want you to see Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now, this is talking about when God divided up the inheritance, etc. And then in verse 10, it says, he found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. And look what the word says. He's talking about Israel now. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Apple of his eye.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is